Welcome everyone to this latest edition of the Jet Stream. Welcome Novocastrians, I should say, for Ferns. We're here today to preview the Round 11 clash between the Newcastle Jets and Adelaide, happening this Friday night at 7:50pm at MJ Stadium. We're pretty light on tonight. I think everyone's still recovering after the big night that we had on Monday, and typically the one that can back up, because he's got the ability and tolerance for alcohol, is Bodes.
Mate, here with all our friends.
Mate, just you and I on board tonight. Bring back memories of when you and I did that podcast last year where you came after soccer.
Oh yeah, at least I'm not sweaty tonight, mate.
And at least we've still got the power on at the house as well.
Yes, 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 the power is on. The weather's about the same though, cold and miserable.
Yeah, mate, it's certainly wet outside. Parks is always wondering whether we've still got the power on when we do this. But anyway, all right, mate, we'll jump straight into the opening question. What's your favourite book as a child?
It would be a book series, and funny enough, they've both been turned into movies. It would be the Harry Potter series and the Lord of the Rings series. And guess what? I'm split on the book and the movie. I've seen the movies probably twice, and I've read the books probably two or three times. I think they're both brilliant.
So which of the Harry Potter series was your favourite book? Had to narrow it down.
Probably either the Order of the Phoenix or the Half-Blood Prince. I think the good thing about Harry Potter is I grew up with Harry Potter, so when Harry was a 13-year-old, So when I was older, I was older, sort of thing. So yeah, I would say those two.
Okay. Well, there's a couple of years, quite a few years difference between you and I, though.
Just a couple.
Mine's a little bit different. I always remember as a very little kid, and it's something that I've passed on to my little boy as well as the Spot books. I was always a fan of Spot, but to the point where I could read, my favourite was actually Roald Dahl's The BFG. Definitely my favourite. Just recently turned into a movie
too.
I haven't seen it, but Snozcumbers the BFG. Roald Dahl was just a real good author. Books easy to read. Simple man like me. Before we get into our next segment, which is Beers with Boats, got to say happy birthday to the Big Fernster. He's probably into his sixth session. Of Rogue One today.
I think he actually, as part of his present, was given the cinema to himself. I think just one cinema, and he was asked whether he wanted to see a couple of films, and I've just heard he's just seen Rogue One six times on the back end, so.
Well, we have got the odd tweet or message in between sessions.
Yeah,
so
just saying it's all going well, and
sort of that 2.5 hours between every message that we're getting.
We've told him no spoilers, so anyway, happy, it's actually his 40th too, so the big 4-0.
Yes.
So congratulations, Uncle Ferns, on reaching another milestone, and here's to another milestone in 10 years' time for the big 5-0.
Yep, so you can obviously get in touch with Ferns at Squadron Newey.
Yep.
Wish him
a happy birthday.
Wish him a happy birthday,
By the time you hear this, probably yesterday, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Unless you're listening to this in a couple of days or weeks' time.
Yeah. In which case, he's probably over it by then.
You've had Christmas. Get in touch with us at the Jetstream as well. Be interested to know what other people's books were, our favourite childhood books were. Pretty interesting little question. All right, back to the segment that everyone is raving about, and rightly so. Beers with Bodes. We left you with a live tasting of the Hasselsloth IPA on Monday night. Bodes, what do you got in store for us today?
Yeah, righto. So it's a bit of first, and there's a live tasting which is another first. So I'll run back to day 13, which was a lager by the name of Vale, and first lager. Highlights: it was lager with biscuit malts, so I guess it's a thicker malt type thing. Percentage was 4.5%, and I've gone. It tasted very smooth for the first lager in the package. Not bad. Probably would have again. 3 out of 5. So
okay.
I gave it that, and then yesterday. Thinking about this, I'm probably going to review my rating, because I actually didn't mind it. I probably did the rating halfway through. It was a Chardonnay IPA called Prickly Moses, and it was by the Ottaway Brewing Company, the Hollands. Simple American IPA with touches of Chardy, or Chardonnay. Right. So Percentage 6%, so as you know, you start involving wine and things, the percentage shoots up. So, I had in not a shardy fan, so a funny aftertaste, but not bad. I had a rating of 2.5 out of 5, but you know what? I'm going to change it to 3, because it wasn't that bad. So, and the live beer, which I've already opened admittingly, because I was rather thirsty, is another first. It's a brown ale, called Cavalier.
Sounds like a strong one, babe, just slurring a bit.
I might have had a few pre-ones at SJ's before coming over. It's by the Cavalier Brewing Company. It's a simple brown ale, malts, hops, and yeast. So, yeah, it's the first black beer in the pile. 5% percentage. I've written down early thoughts here, smooth and easy, but I'll give you a rating when I finished it. But so far, smooth and easy would be my description. So that's this week's short episode of Beers with Boats.
Yeah, very good, mate. 2 in a week, the listeners asked, world. And to regular listener and sometimes contributor, Gavin Austin, we do have to say that these are Boats' opinions. He's seeking advice from the back of the labels, but he's certainly not copying them word for word.
No, God, no. No way. No, that would be cheating, Gavin.
All right. Well, mate, we've skipped over it long enough. Let's get into the game that is at hand. We're at home Friday night. It's our only Friday night game at MJ Stadium.
And our only 7:30 kickoff game at home all season, I believe, too. So
yeah. And
it'd be nice to see the lights turned on.
It will be. I don't know if they still work after.
I don't know if they turn them off during the summer. They don't seem to need it. So.
No, definitely not. Couple of stats for the game. At home, Adelaide had the overall advantage when compared to the Jets. But
most teams do.
Yes, most teams do. The ones that don't generally don't exist anymore. but 7 wins to the Jets at home, 5 losses and 4 draws amongst the 16 matches that have happened up here in the Hunter. The Jets have actually gained 5 points from a losing position, and we might talk on that talk on that a bit later, and that's 5 points this year. Andrew Hull is still 1 yellow card off an automatic suspension.
That's a shock.
Yeah, well, he's actually been holding all right.
Yeah, I was about to say, he has been.
We'll get on to the forwards a little bit later as well, but the Jets have only scored once against Adelaide in the last 6 matches, which was in round 1, Wayne Brown's goal on debut. Well,
that seems a while back, and that's his only goal so far, correct?
It is, yep. And the Jets have actually only, in the last 4 years, have only gone back-to-back wins in the A-League on 5 occasions, which is a really, really disappointing stat.
Mm.
So, Bodes, is there anything that's standing out to you in that?
The two for me is the 5 points from losing positions, which is, considering we've only racked up 8 points this year so far, or 7?
Eight.
So that's over half our points have been racked up from losing positions, so that's impressive. And the second one, which is quite concerning.
No, we're at 9 points.
9 points, okay. Yeah. Still over half, so. Yeah. But the other one, which is really worrying, it's the 1 goal against Adelaide in the last 5 fixtures. That is to be of concern, and hopefully, look, I'm sure it's not a mental thing with being mostly a new team, but gee, we've got to score some goals tomorrow night.
Oh, mate, for me, look, Adelaide brings back sketchy memories of, as I always say, dodgy Indian food with that 7-0 thrashing that we dealt with under Phil Stubbins. But look, we're not going to talk about him, so we're going to move onwards. Talk about the squad. Lachlan Jackson, Morten Nordstrand have been added to the match day squad last week.
Yep.
Do you think either of those two are going to be pushing for a first team place? Mark Jones has been saying during the week he doesn't want to change a winning lineup.
I definitely think Nordstrand will find his way back into the team. I don't think it'll be from the start, but I definitely think it'll be on the bench. But now with Bugard, Mullen and Katrumbas back, I think Jackson's now fourth in line, in my opinion. I've heard today, and I'm sure you might have written it down, but it looks like Bugard's going to get his starting position back. So I think that bench position, it's got to be Katrumbas's, in my opinion. So, yeah.
Look, we'll go on to the defence. I mean, you've let in there, and Jack Duncan at the moment is picking himself. Yeah. He's been in excellent form, and look, let's be honest, Piers Clark is a backup keeper at this stage
really,
in his development.
Yep.
Are you looking to make any changes? You've touched on Bugard may come back in, but Jones said he doesn't want to change his lineup.
Yeah, no, I definitely think Bugard will come back in. Well, definitely in the article this afternoon, the Jets posted on their website, they said Bugard is starting. So
okay.
So, yeah.
Haven't seen it.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I'm not trying to pick on you. So no, and even if they hadn't said that, I definitely think he would have been back. This is your highest paid player and your captain. I know we were talking on Monday night, but look, Bugard's been instrumental this year, and I think he deserves his place back. So I expect him to fully start. And I guess the wing-backs probably are still going to be the same. Vijica did nothing wrong when called upon last week. And look, I can see Cowburn taking Hoffman's position in the future, but I don't think this weekend.
I think Hoffy played his best game.
Yeah, I would agree. Time. I thought he played really well. I thought, if anything, the previous weeks that Hoffman's position was more in doubt than Cowburn's, but
yeah,
obviously not, and Hoffy's taken advantage of it.
Well, look, for me, Vijica made Boz's team of the week. I saw that on Shootout, and I agree, he didn't do anything wrong. I don't think there needs to be any real changes other than Bugard returning for Katrumbas. And yep. Look, he's a young kid. He's introduced to the A-League at a very young age, 18, and playing... he's not playing twice a week, but certainly the toll will be needs to be managed on a still-developing body.
True.
So I think he will hold down a place on the bench ahead of Lachlan Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jackson's been named as a bit of a boost and a morale builder.
Yeah, I think
builder.
So. Just another injury player that's come back, so... I think now the only ones left are the two main ones, which is Alessi and Beaker, I believe. I don't think.
And Canner.
Oh, and Canner. That's probably worth a discussion point, that one, actually.
All right, well, let's talk about it then. Canner, his injury. He's had some surgery on his knee to repair his cartilage.
Mm-hmm.
A bit of it was removed,
yep.
I believe.
Yep.
Canner's off contract at the end of the year, and we're starting to now see, instead of... major type of injuries to his knee, that he's spending the odd 2 or 3 weeks out at a time because of basically dislocation or movement within his knee that's causing injury. And over the course of a season, if you're only fit for 3 or 4 matches at a time before you're missing another 2, that can add up to sort of 8 matches that you're unavailable a season, which is a third of a season.
Yeah, and it's a worry. And at the tender age of 24, your body shouldn't be breaking down like this. And it really concerns me for the future of Canner Oskie's career in Newcastle. His versatility is obviously an addition sort of thing, but it's now coming to a stage where... And I get this feeling his performances are being affected too. When he's coming back, it's taking him a game or two to get back into peak condition. So we're essentially, while he might play 4 games and miss 2... it's taking him an extra 2 games to get back into the groove, and we can't really cop that sort of thing. So, look, I think if this doesn't fix it and Canner Oskie doesn't come back and play well, I think his career at Newcastle could be over.
Do you think it's a point of when he gets back from this injury that he needs to go through the rest of this season uninjured?
I wouldn't go ahead and say that. Anything could kind of happen, and it would be unlucky. But, look, if he can get a run at 10, 15 games and showcase the Canner Oskie we know of old, which was a couple of years ago when we more or less thought he was going to be the mainstay of our team for 10 years sort of thing. We should keep him, but at this point, I wouldn't be keeping him, unfortunately. And it's sad because he's a local boy and we brought him into the fold. And, yeah, it's just disappointing that his career has never really hit the heights which it looked like it was when he debuted, 8, 9 years ago.
And then linked with Bayern.
Yeah, and linked with Bayern.
Well, Canner's a good segue into then the midfield. We started last week, I'd probably almost say, with a 4-man midfield of Hull, Ugarkovic, Poljak and Naboo.
Yep.
Then with Wayne Brown and Devante Clute in front of him. Let's actually take that as a midfield 3 of Brown, Ugarkovic and Poljak.
Yep.
Are you looking to make any changes there?
No, that should be our mainstay 3 for the rest of the season. We should work towards those guys being our 3. Let's work around them and build the squad around them. And I think actually you probably can bring Naboo and possibly even Clute into that foundation. I think those guys now are are almost weak. Well, Naboo's a definite starter, but I think Klute's now. I think Glenn might have said on Monday night that it's pretty much impossible not to pick him now. He's getting better and better every week. So, yeah.
So where do you fit him in?
Klute. This week I think he stays in the same. Put that false nine. Top of the line sort of thing with Wayne Brown just in behind them swapping around. So yeah, I would keep him there. And you know what? If he's playing well, I think Nordstrom's best chance of coming in is on one of the wing positions.
Given that Poljak, both Poljak and Jugarkovic are off contract at the end of this year,
yep.
Do you think that the long-term vision for the Jets is to put Devante in the position where Wayne Brown is currently playing in that sort of centre attacking mid role and having Wayne Brown drop deeper?
No. No, not in my opinion. I think there's room for both of them. I can't see one. Look, it depends, I guess, what Mark Jones is going to be our long stay coach. Does he want to play a mobile system, or does he want to have a Coco up front? It really depends how we want to play, sort of thing. And who's to say we can't get to a stage where we start rotating players to give flexibility and stuff? So it's a good thing to have. Look, if Devante Klute's playing better than Wayne Brown, and we can only fit one, we'll. Who gets to play? It doesn't matter if you're a foreigner or not. So, no, I would be looking to keep both Poljak and Jugarkovic, especially with Poljak coming into citizenship.
Coco's another man that we mentioned is still still out of the team. He's another week away.
Yeah, we missed him.
Now he's training. He's training.
Yep.
Fully.
Yep.
He still has some tenderness around his jaw, and it's. It's probably a matter of precaution that the Jets are looking to rest him.
Yep.
You're not looking to make any changes to that front, well, essentially front three of Hull, Klute and Naboo for this match?
No, not this match. I think if Nordstrom had been a week fitter, I would have possibly looked to have to given Nordstrom a run with, unfortunately, in my opinion, Hull dropping out. Not because Hull, I don't think, played bad last week, but because I think Nordstrom offers more when confident. So, but look, Nordstrom's going to be an awesome deputy off the bench this week. And look, if we need a game changer, it's not a bad one to have. So,
would you have been looking to play Nordstrom out wide or central and move?
I actually would have looked to have played Nordstrom out wide. I thought Nordstrom played his best in that game against the against the Mariners when they pushed him out.
That brand is strong, mate.
It is strong. I'll have to add that down to the notes. But when he played out wide left with Coco through the middle. So, yeah, I actually think Nordstrom, with his size and height, look, I think he's best out wide, in my opinion.
I wouldn't be looking to make any changes to that three either.
I don't think so.
I don't think it's warranted. They're just starting to find some form together. Yep. Again, look, why dent their confidence after we've just come off a record-breaking win in Perth? Would you look to make any changes? I think it's pretty sound logic that
just an update too, Dave. It's now 5 days since we last won in Perth. Not 11 years, 5 days. Just thought I'd get an update in there.
Oh, mate, that's very good. Yeah, I like that. I like that one a lot. I tend to agree with the logic that Emma often takes with regards to our bench position, that it's not necessarily a punishment that you are positioned on the bench, that you can play a role. Some of the most, some of the best players played a role off the bench. And I mean,
what Liverpool player are you going to suggest, Dave?
I actually wasn't. I was going to just say that I feel dirty saying it, but someone like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer could play a role and have that level of impact. Just as Bo's just looking around.
And saying, have you got any Solskjaer photos on your wall, but can't seem to see any?
No, then nor should there be. Look, mate, we'll go back to the Jets, but let's talk about Adelaide for a second. They had a 4-0 loss last week.
And they were awful. They were worse than Perth. If I was to have a worst of the round, they were worse than Perth.
Look, they did welcome back a couple of attacking players, in particular, Thirio. Who returns from a knee injury, and Enrique, who had only been back for maybe the week before or two. But with that 4-0 loss, it leaves Adelaide still rooted to the bottom of the table. Is Guillermo Amor under pressure?
Well done, Dave. I wouldn't have pronounced it. I think he definitely... I think he gets the season's grace. It's their first championship. They've got an Asian Champions League coming. I think if they would have... Look, if if they don't win another game for the rest of the season, yeah, you've probably got to sack him sort of thing. But I definitely think he gets the season's grace, so...
Look, I mean, there have been the rumours that have been dismissed by both parties, with rumoured to be linking with Manchester City due to his affiliation with Pep Guardiola.
Yep.
As well as the potential for the Aloisi brothers, who are both off contract in Brisbane, to return home to Adelaide. I mean, season's grace, but could there be a bit of pressure from the fans?
Oh, look, you're always going to have pressure from the fans. Fans have short-sighted glasses, and the past is the past for them, and the team's not winning. Of course they're going to be calling for action, but I'd say to Adelaide fans, try and be Jets fans so to see what it's like sort of thing. So, yeah, look, I don't think he's under pressure, in my opinion.
Adelaide have, he returned last week, and we mentioned that before, but Thirio will now be back, I expect, in the starting lineup to go alongside Enrique and Guardiola. Isaias will return from suspension. And also another player who's been named in the squad is Michael Moroney, who we last saw doing in the grand final last year, injuring his ACL. So he is returning, possibly. It would surprise me personally if he returned to that lineup. But to take the spot of Garuccio or Tarek Elrich. But look, Isaias is a massive return for them.
Yeah, he is. Along with Sirio. Sirio, for me, last year, probably aligned with Karuska, was their best player last year, I thought. And he is such a dynamic player on the ball. So, yeah, we've got to be worried about him.
Look, it's normally at this point, Bose, that we cross to an interview that we've organised with a fan from the podcast of the team that we are facing this week. And we had an interview organised with Always United, but look, we'll just give them a shout out to say thank you. They did offer. We did have an interview organised, but we've had some technical difficulties from both our end and people's availability. So Ilario and Aaron from Always United were willing to come on the podcast, but they couldn't join us this week. So thank you, boys. Give you the shout out. So have a look at them, Always United podcast, if you can. Adelaide have got a 5-day turnaround, and both of those matches are away from home. So they've gone from Brisbane to Adelaide, Adelaide to Newcastle, and Adelaide to Newcastle is not an easy trip.
No, it's not. Look, you've got to go via Sydney. You can't fly direct to Newcastle. So,
or you've got to go via...
They go to Melbourne to... Or whatever
or
way.
Or via Brisbane to Newcastle.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess I don't know what they've done. I'd assume they would have gone back to Adelaide and trained for the week. But, yeah, look, it's not an easy trip. Anything that's over 3 or 4 hours is not an easy trip, so...
And I know that there are... I do know they're getting in tonight, so...
Oh, there you go. They didn't spend the week.
No, they didn't spend the week. They are getting in tonight. So any delays, certainly, in their preparation or in their flights is going to get them to bed later than expected, so maybe that could play a factor tomorrow. How do you reckon Adelaide are going to look to get at the Jets?
Look, the way I can see it for them is more or less getting your Karuska and Sirio types on the ball and looking to, I think, to get at our wide guys. I think, look, if I was to be honest, I still think that's our weakest positions on the field. Not that a shot at Vegeka or Hoffman. I just think when you compare them to our centre pairing of Mullen and Buga, they're a much stronger possibility. So, yeah, look, I think that's the way they're going to go.
Vegeka's certainly going to have, if expected that Sirio is named in the starting lineup, he's going to have his work cut out.
Yeah, look, he will.
For me, I think Adelaide need to look and take a leaf out of the teams that have been successful against the Jets. The teams that have been successful have put a lot of pressure in that front third with their press, and they need to show a lot of energy because the Jets have really struggled to play their way out of trouble this year. So for me, if they're going to get anything out of it, that's the way they need to go. I guess we'll now move on to the Jets, and Adelaide are in better form than the Jets. They've got 5 points from their last 5 matches, whereas the Jets have only got 4.
I was wondering where you go. Like, we just won 2-1. Adelaide lost 4-0. But no,
over the last 5, the Adelaide are in better form.
Okay, no problem.
But the Jets, how do you think they're going to get to Adelaide?
I think they've got to go the same way they went against Perth. Just press like they did. Press from the front with your mobile guys, Clute, Hill, Naboo and Co. You just got to get into them and put pressure on the likes of McGowan. Elrich and Garuccio. We've just got to, and LaRocca, sorry. We've just got to press. And look, when we get the ball, let's get the Hills and the Boos on the ball out wide, and let's do what we did last week. Get them in one-on-one situations, especially Naboo. Like, I think we've found out this year, if he gets in a one-on-one situation, he's more than likely going to beat the players. So, yeah, that's the way we've got to go, in my opinion.
Round one, we were quite successful before Coco was taken off with an Achilles injury.
Mm-hmm.
He was quite a physical presence up front holding the ball.
Yep.
That allowed Wayne Brown the space to float and move in around behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And we scored the goal before Coco was taken off. But what was evident, I remember, in that match was the press from the Jets. It was something that I hadn't seen for the previous couple of years. And the Jets did concede an unfortunate goal between a mix-up with Mullen and Duncan.
That's right. The slide tackle of your own plate. Yep.
Yep.
That, in all honesty too, that was probably the last time I think Jack Duncan made a genuine mistake. Like a serious mistake.
I think in the couple of weeks, maybe in the sort of second or third week after that, he would catch and drop. He was never
punished for it, was he?
No, never. He hasn't been punished for it. And it's been a point that we haven't really brought up on the podcast since. So, look, mate, yeah, he has been a non-discussion point since that first round. But, look, for me, yeah, the Jets need to look to press Adelaide. They need to win that ball high. They need to be taking... I mean, Karuska is back. He wasn't present in that match. Macaroonis was taking his spot. But, yeah, we need to take a leaf out of what we did in round one that was successful in round one, and that was the pressure, particularly Isaias, because he's the player that makes
them tick. Yeah, well, he's the one that does make them tick, you're right.
We talked about it before, that this is our only Friday night match at home. Look, the weather is pretty crappy at the moment. It's drizzly, and it's meant to be rainy tomorrow.
Brilliant.
Christmas time, Christmas parties, Christmas carols in King Edward Park. Do you think that's going to have a negative effect on the crowd, Bodes?
Look, anytime you bring rain to things, it's always going to have a negative impact, and especially with a Newcastle crowd who do enjoy sometimes to stay away from the rain. So, yes, I think it could affect the crowd, but look...
It is the last day of school.
Yeah, it is. So what a better way to celebrate than come watch the Jets. yeah, look, the loyal will show up. I don't think it might have a small impact, but I definitely think the membership count will probably rock up. So 8,000-9,000.
I think I'd be hoping for 10, personally. I mean, Adelaide aren't in great form, so they're not a really attractive match.
Hopefully people have watched the news this week and seen the team actually won last week, so...
Yeah, exactly. So, because it was our best performance by far.
Yeah, it was. It was. I think it was even better than the 4-0 against Brisbane.
So a backup win, a back-to-back win, I should say.
Would be awesome.
It's really key this week, Bose, because then we have Wellington... Ten days later.
Well, it is. It's the next two, I think, that are important. In my opinion, if we win the next two, we're serious contenders for the top six. It would be a brilliant turnaround from the last five games. But look, we've got to take advantage of this. We're playing two teams who are both struggling for form. We've really got to take advantage of it.
I talk in blocks of three. And that block of three against Victory, Sydney and Perth, I expected us to try and at least get 1 point. And after the loss to Sydney, after the loss to Melbourne, it didn't look good to even get that 1 point from a possible 9. But we took 3, which wasn't our best performance in a block of 3 for the year. But now we look at the Perth, Adelaide, Wellington block of 3. We really need to be looking to seriously take 9 points from a possible 9 there. Because Wellington are travelling we're playing them on Boxing Day.
Yep, so which means they have to travel on Christmas.
Or before. And really, the only player who's going to have any sort of family around for Christmas
is Jura.
In Newcastle is Jura. if that's not... And they haven't appointed a coach yet as well. So if that's not... and a 10-day turnaround, win this week, and we really need to be looking to take 9 points.
Yeah, and look, if we take 9 points, that's... When was the last time we won 3 on the trot? Like, it'd be almost championship season, wouldn't it?
No, it was back in the days of Gary... No, it was either back in the days of Clayton Zane or Gary Van Egmond. I looked it up earlier, but I think it was back in the days of Gary Van Egmond.
Fair enough. Okay. I'd be very surprised.
It was a long Gary Vinogron version 2. Late Gary Vinogron version 2.
Okay.
So it was a very, very long time.
That's your homework, Director of Stats. It's your homework.
Mate, I'm going to delegate that to you. look, something that I guess has been concern for me is we talked about that he's in good form. We talked about that he's a non-conversation point. Yet we've only kept one clean sheet with Jack Duncan this year. Three clean sheets overall in the last 12 months.
For the team, that is.
For the
yeah.
team.
Okay.
So, the Jets, we talk about having a stronger defence and not conceding as many goals, but we're not turning that into clean sheets. And really, for me...
Well, this is only... Sorry to go no. contradicting you, but this is the... This will, if Marlon and Bugard start this weekend together, this will be the second game only. Were they
this season?
Yeah, this season when they stayed together. So look,
yeah, but they were together last season and they only saw G2 in that last 12 months.
They were, but 12 months with extra and I think essentially a settled defence, you'd think, this year. So I thought we would have had, we would have kept more clean sheets. So
three of the five, back five are settled.
Yeah, so look, I think if these guys can settle in for the next couple of weeks and don't get injured, we might be in for a couple of clean sheets. So, but yeah, it's a decent point.
Well, that's certainly going to be a sign of progression for me that we're looking to make some improvement is the clean sheet side of things, because Jones is just, per game, he is just below Scott Miller's overall goals per game conceding.
Yep.
They are actually, people may not realise, but they are actually very similar overall in their how they're tracking. But yeah, for me, it's something that I'm looking to see as a mark of improvement. We need to keep a clean sheet.
Yep.
So, Adelaide normally set up with a one holding, oh no, two holding, I'd say, Holland and Issaiis, Holland being that box-to-box type player. How do you think the Jets are going to look to set up tactically-wise?
I assume it'll be the same as last week. It'll be that flat... it's essentially 4-3-3, 4-4-2, whatever way you want to take it. But we're gonna play with, obviously, the normal back five with Duncan in goals. We'll then play Garkovic and Poeka sitters, Naboo and Hull wide, and then Clutton, Brown, I think, more or less swapping in that 10 role. So I can't see us swapping from the way we lined up last week. And, yeah, I think that's just the way to go.
Yeah, I think we need, as I mentioned before, we need to show that level of pressure. We need to show that intensity in our press and lead that from the front and look to win the ball high up the field so that we can keep Adelaide on their back toe. Because, look, I think an early goal really sets Adelaide back and does damage to their confidence after their 4-0 thrashing last week.
Mm-hmm.
The referee, Sean Evans, as Fox still likes to remind us, he's the bricky from Melbourne come good. Some would say that he's...
It's like saying Bricky is a bad trade.
Well, mate, some would say he's actually... Well, some being me would say that he's had too many bricks dropped on his head. But our record under him is actually very poor. He's refereed us in 9 matches. We've had 1 win, 3 draws and 5 losses. And he quite kindly sent Nigel Bugard off twice last year.
Oh, is kindly the word we use for that? I can think of a better one.
We've had some, let's say, less experienced referees over the last couple of weeks. That was something that Anthony's looked to point out. But Evans is part of the FFA's full-time refereeing structure. Mate, do you think this is going to play a part?
No. I'm one of those people that believes referees don't play a part. You get your luck, you don't get your luck. But I understand yourself, Anthony, like, I do think it does play a part. But look,
Win in 9 matches.
I'm gonna stay out of it and say no, it doesn't. But happy for people to argue it with me.
Rightio. Well, I hope that the mongrel count is certainly
down
on previous weeks, because he certainly doesn't mind. Evans certainly doesn't mind flashing the red cards, because he's sent off 3 of our players. Biraz was the other one that he sent off. I think it was Biraz. I was looking at it earlier, and that was Biraz back. Very first game, handball versus Adelaide.
And we lost 2-0. Yep. Vidicic scored after about 30 seconds.
Yep. Yeah, well, let's not
remember
that
fixture.
Back there.
Yep.
Yep. But he's never sent off an opposition player. So, right, let's touch on the other match that is happening on Friday night, and that is the W League's fixture.
Yes.
The Jets women are playing the Melbourne Victory. Melbourne Victory, the Jets currently sit in sixth place.
In the finals of the top four, correct?
I think so, yeah. So, we had the bye last week, so we've had an opportunity to have a rest.
How did we go against the bye?
Mate, no result.
Oh, so they don't give, it's not like the rugby league. No, fair enough.
No, they don't. They don't reward points for having the week off.
But fair enough.
Melbourne Victory are currently the cellar dwellers with only 2 points from their matches. The kickoff is at MJ Stadium at 5:20. For those who are able to attend,
I must say I really do like the idea that they are playing the fixtures beforehand. But this one is silly, in my opinion. 5:20. Look, people don't finish work till 4:05. Kids getting off buses and finishing school. This one doesn't make sense for mine.
Yeah, and it's certainly going to skew if the FFA are looking to award games for next year. I mean, Newcastle have been last season they had the greatest attendance, yeah, particularly for those games that were the double headers, which is why we applied and got 6 games this year.
But well, it's because we have all our home games on Sunday, Dave.
Yeah, that's true. That is true as well. Good point. But look, I agree with you. This fixture doesn't make sense, and I hope that it doesn't affect the atmosphere for the girls in the stadium.
Look,
because
I agree that the girls should be able to play on the best pitch and stuff. But look, I think you would have got a better turnout by putting this at Magic Park at 5:00 on Saturday afternoon. Better conditions, better time for everyone to see. But look, I'm not in the position of power to make those calls.
Well, and it will be interesting to see how the team bounce back after their defeat in the previous game at MJ Stadium. But they're certainly getting a lot of publicity this year.
Yeah, the Jets are, and they deserve it. Well, they do deserve it.
100%, because I don't know about you, I always make the effort to go along to those games.
Yeah, I've seen the second half of their last two home games. Look, they are enjoyable to watch. There's never a lacking of excitement when you see the girls play. And I think I've heard the comment correctly before, and I'm not trying to be sexist anyway. While the girls might not have the technical ability of the boys sometimes, their ability to run tactics and stuff like that apparently is second to none, because their listening compared to the boys is much better. So,
yeah, I must say that the Jets have recruited well with their two American imports. Four. Well, one got injured and has been replaced.
Yep.
But the three that I think in particular, I'll hold judgment on their new keeper. But Megan Oyster returning for a second year.
She's brilliant.
She is absolutely fantastic. Erin Gilliand is just an absolute machine. She runs all day.
And then there's Paul
and Jen Hoy.
Well, I think she's been the best one so far of the three this year, I think.
You reckon?
Yeah. The game was in the second half. She's always posing a threat up front. So, yeah, no, I think she's been the best one so far.
Gillian, for me, has been our best player. She's just running that midfield. And someone who impressed me quite a lot in the two games that I have seen, and she's played two different positions, is Claire Wheeler. She played on the wing in the very first match and then played as a centre mid in the next match. And made her pace, her tenacity, her passing ability, she's really stepped up this year, and it's hard to boot her out of the team. She needs to be a starter. So, and look, Cassidy Davis as well. Hopefully she gets a return back into the midfield, because she played centre defence last match. But she's versatile.
She's local girl, Cassidy, isn't she?
Sorry?
Local girl, Cassidy, isn't she?
Cassidy is a local girl. She's very much, she reminds me very much, not in so much, probably in her playing style, but I'd say she's better than Lee Broxham.
She's taller, I think.
And she's not as aggressive off the field as well.
I wonder what her DJ skills are like.
But Cassidy brings that versatility to the team. She's slotted in at centre back. She's also tenacious as centre mid. She's a player that every team would love to have.
Yep.
Other fixture this week, and this is a fixture that is away from home on Sunday at 7:30 p.m. at Papa Donetta Park, is the Youth League, the Jets Youth League, who are playing Western Sydney Wanderers, and they currently sit third, Bose, in Conference B. However, that's simply on goal difference. They are on equal points with first place and second place, Sydney FC and Western Sydney seven.
Yep.
So this is essentially a 3v2 playoff here.
Yep.
A win for the Jets youth would be massive. And look, to back up their win, for their 2-0 win, I think, from last week.
Yep. And look, they if they're, because I think it's the team that comes first proceeds straight to the final, correct? These are the games we've kind of got to win to be in the position to take out the youth league sort of thing. And I actually went to the game against Sydney FC, and they were very disappointing from what I've heard and seen of them this year.
2-0 loss, it was a 2-0 loss, was it?
Last game. 2-0. Yeah, sorry. So they beat the centre of excellence. This is the game against Sydney FC. So, yeah, that was the last game I saw, and they were very disappointing. Whilst, I must say, the Sydney youth team was excellent, and you can see why that Sydney FC youth team is going to be very strong next year going into NPL 1 in Sydney.
Yep. All right, mate. Well, that covers the two other leagues. So we encourage everyone, particularly those who are able to or plan on attending the Adelaide match, Jets and Adelaide match, which is 7:50 kickoff. Get along early to the stadium and support the W League team, because I mean, you're not only doubling the amount of football that you can see, but you can also support our local team as well, because they are doing really well this year. Mate, we'll touch on a couple of news items that have popped up since the last podcast.
Yep.
Harry Sawyer, he's a Brisbane Roar youth. He's down here on a 10-day trial, which is good, but I want to take a different slant on that. Cameron Joyce, he's a player who returned from the Centre of Excellence.
And by Mora, I guess, too, if you could put it in such a way.
Possibly. Why are we looking at Harry Sawyer? Because Joyce... Both Joyce and Bromora have been scoring.
Yeah, look, I'm going to go another route of you. I know he's actually just signed for Bentley Green today. Keanu Moore being given a chance. I think it's just Jones with his ability, all more or less wanting to look at players. And look, the Jets are in a position where we're not the strongest team in the league, and we've got the ability to go out and have a look at these guys. We haven't got the scouts that Sydney and Melbourne do, so we have to look out. Outside the box sometimes. So, look, I'm not going to say it's the worst thing for Cameron Joyce, but I agree with you. It's a bit worrying what's happened to Joyce, because he hasn't been playing in the youth team recently as well.
No, he scored on the weekend.
Oh, okay.
Well,
yeah, made me look like an idiot.
No, he did start the match previous against Sydney. He came off the bench.
Oh, he did too. You are right. But, sorry, I should have been saying I haven't seen him start lately in the youth team.
So, he did start against the Centre of Excellence.
Yeah, okay. And that was probably due to the fact that Basevich had been... Well, was on the way out at that point.
Yeah. Look, for me, I was a bit concerned that possibly he was a player that was brought back into the Jets under Miller.
Well, he's only 18 years of age, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, look, time to go on his side.
He was scoring quite freely down at the Centre of Excellence, and going through that AIS, I mean, there's been a number of decent players that have come out of that system.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, I mean, I was actually championing and hoping that Cameron Joyce would have got that final youth spot. And I
over Bromora.
Over Bromora. Because
he's another local. Bromora's a local boy too.
He is. At the time when we brought him back, I thought that it was Cameron Joyce, or at least Cameron would have got one of the last two after we signed Dan Alessi.
Okay.
But not to be the case. Doesn't mean he can't be called up for the Jets main team, though, as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, mate, Andrew Hull. Andrew Hull talked about better finishing is required from the Jets.
From the Jets or himself?
Both.
Fair enough. Look, I must say it was really good to see Andrew Hull score last week. After a frustrating couple of weeks, including him, it was good to see him score. But look, it's right. He needs to start scoring goals. 3 goals in 75 games for a player in a wide forward position is not good enough. So you could almost... James Virgili could almost be shaking it in his boots. He was only given 50 fixtures and was cut out. So look... Andrew needs to start taking his chances. And look, he's only on a 1-year deal here. It depends on who you ask, but his position may be in threat or may not be in threat. So, yeah, I hope for his sake he continues to score goals.
Very good. Well, mate, that's gone for 44 and a half minutes, and I've...
We just love the sound of our own voices.
We do, and I've exhausted all of the notes that I've got written down on my piece of paper here. Stick around, everyone, at the end of this podcast. We have the excerpt from the Phil the Hill Friday podcast, where they're talking about the injury room. So you can get an update
on injury lounge.
Pardon me. So you can hear from Grant and from Todd where a number of our injured players are at and how they're progressing. That list is shrinking, which is excellent. So you can obviously find their podcast, Feel the Hill Friday, which is all one word. Bose, thank you very much for joining me.
Don't want to ask what I think the score's going to be?
Well, yeah, all right. Very good. Well, yeah, very good. Bring up your phone. Let's bring up the fixtures for the rest of the week as well.
Right.
Furs will get cranky if we don't. We don't want to piss him off because it is his birthday.
Right.
So, mate, what is your prediction for the Adelaide match?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say a 2-0 win to the Jets.
I actually will agree with you. A 2-0 win is what I see us achieving. I think that Guardiola is a good player, and though they are bringing back some key players in Enrique and Sirio back in, it's almost a full-strength Adelaide lineup. I just think we will have too much for them, and the team spirit that would certainly have grown from a record-breaking win in Perth just will give us that extra edge. Who do you think is going to be the first goal scorer?
First goal scorer will be Andrew Naboo.
I'm going to go a bit left field, maybe left field, and pick one of my favourite players in the squad at the moment. That's Stevie UG.
So I'll go for the rest of the fixtures, Dave.
You go for it, mate.
Okay, Saturday 5:35, Wellington Phoenix in Auckland at Mount Smart Stadium play the Wanderers, Dave.
Wanderers haven't been in really good form. They've been out of goal-scoring touch recently.
They got thumped last week, too.
Yeah. Wellington, I think, will still be under that new coach bounce. They looked a much tidier team against, albeit, the Gippos. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pick Wellington to win that in a tight 1-0 win.
Right. I'm going to go 3-1 Wellington Phoenix. I think Barbarousis and Finkler are starting to come good, so... And I'm glad, because I said at the start of the year I thought Wellington were going to be a dark horse for the year, but they haven't until
this
point.
They might still be, mate.
They might still be. Saturday night sees the Christmas Melbourne Derby, I think they call it. Melbourne City play Melbourne Victory at Amy Park.
How many iterations of the derbies can you get? I'm going to pick a draw, but I think that there will be goals. I mean, the last Melbourne derby had that cracking goal from Tim Cahill.
It did.
And while we're on Tim Cahill, David Squires did release a wonderful cartoon.
Yeah.
If you haven't looked it up, go on the Guardian website, look up David Squires.
Just the one. I was saying Buzana.
for me, it was the Matt Simon being dragged away saying, I'll fight you, Woi Woi style. I'm going to go 2-2 draw.
Well, I think Melbourne Victory are going to square the ledger and make it 1-1 just purely on the basis that Bessart Bruce has come back into form and at the right time.
Well, Bessart's actually very close to breaking the record for all-time
goals.
Yeah,
in front of Archie.
And also, it's been quite a while since Melbourne Victory have won. Yeah, you know what? Actually, no, I'm going to change. I'm going to go 3-2 Melbourne Victory.
Brought you over. Saturday night continued, sees Perth Glory take on Sydney FC.
I mean, there's been a lot of discussion about what's going on at Perth from the Fox Sports podcast. The boys, they're saying things aren't right over there. But I think Perth are going to bounce back this week. Tags to score 2 and actually gives Sydney their first loss of the year, and that's a 2-1 win.
I don't think they're going to lose, but I don't think Sydney are going to win. So I'm going to go a 1-1 draw, and I think I'm almost tipping with my heart because I don't want Sydney to get too far out in front. So 1-1 draw for me. And you're not going to have to ask me, but Sunday sees the Central Coast Mariners play the Brisbane Roar at Central Coast Stadium. Oh.
I can't even bring myself to joke about the Central Coast winning, so that's going to be a Brisbane Roar 3-0 win. 4-0 for you, Bates?
Yes, Dave. 4-0 for me.
Man, that was a good guess.
Yeah, it was a good guess. What was your... You couldn't even use stats to pick that one up. It's just knowledge. Righto, Dave.
All right, very good.
I'll hand the finish over to you.
Thanks, mate. All right, well, thank you, everyone, for joining us on this episode of the Jetstream. All of our links and the like are in the episode... notes. You can find us on Twitter as well in the episode notes. We're available on iTunes. We appreciate everyone who leaves us with an iTunes review. And recommend us to your friends. They might gain something new. They might find us interesting. They might listen once and then turn us off. All right. Well, thank you very much, everyone. Thanks, Bodes.
Thanks, mate. And shout out again to Ferns. Happy 40th, mate.
Mate, we've been going for 50 minutes as we speak, and he's probably into the next session of Rogue One.
Session 7, I heard.
Late in the night, he's probably moved into gold class by now.
Oh, I think he definitely has.
Yeah,
Mr. Ferner, your spot's over here.
Very good. All right, guys, we'll chat to you after the game.
I can't believe that Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father.
Oh, thanks. We ruined the movie for us. Desen, how good is David Squires bringing his Simpsons reference into his...
He's good. Oh, he's good.
I was absolutely cracked up laughing. I'm down, Benjamin!
Okay, so look, we'll move into the recovery lounge, and there's a few up there today, mate, isn't there?
Yeah, we've picked a few up. Like, we've got a few back and picked a few up, so yeah.
Yeah, look, up there on the bikes at the moment, we've got Cantor, Andy Brennan, and Mitch Cooper.
Mitch Cooper, yeah.
So, look, just which is the first two of the cabs off the rank there. Mitch Cooper has got a possible knee injury, and any idea what's happened to Andy Brennan?
He actually had a really bad cork.
Yeah, right.
Had a bruise on his leg the other day that was really good.
Yep.
Really good. Really big, I mean. It was like a purpley, greeny, yellowy, orangey, everything coloured bruise. So,
okay.
I noticed yesterday... He was actually down here training, but limped off towards the end of it.
Right, so okay.
Reoccurrence or something.
Yeah.
Sort of. But yeah, he's up there bike riding instead of being down here today. So it's.
Okay. A couple of others. Look, Ben Kantorowski, we believe that he's had arthroscopic surgery on his knee.
Yeah. I think it's. He's always had a knee problem.
Yep.
I think it's cartilage or something. Just a clean up. Apparently something keeps catching.
Right.
I sort of saw in the media somewhere that it's just a reoccurrence of previous injury.
Well, he's had a lot of problems.
Yeah, sort of had a clean up. And I don't know, what have we...
Out for about 2 to 4 weeks.
He's in the 2 to 4 range, I think.
Yeah. Coco, he's still out with his jaw and he's still about 2 weeks away, although he's out there at the moment.
Yeah, he's actually...
He's in amongst them, but he's... Yeah, I don't think they'll risk him until he gets the clearance from his doctor.
I was going to say, there's a doctor's sort of clearance.
The other thing that was a bit of a concern there, when the guys, the players have moved into the other side, they're playing on about three-quarter field there now. Bergs wasn't involved. He pulled out about halfway through, and he's behind the byline there doing some stretches and that, but that's him over there now.
He just sort of floats in and out.
Yeah, so...
I don't know whether it's sort of part of... we've got... Well, Dan's back.
Yeah.
Johnny Kay's performing well for a young bloke, I reckon.
Yeah.
He's sort of a find this season for us.
Yeah.
I think he's worth pursuing and perhaps keeping. I think he's somebody
absolutely.
We could
I
do
think
something
so too.
With. So I don't know whether they just sort of float in and out and just give each other a go at that spot.
Yeah.
That's not looking good.
The other thing that he's not, I can't see him out there at the moment. We did see Labby Halidi. Just doing some running out with one of the trainers out here away from the main group. Now I'm looking now and I can't see him on the park over there, so there's Dan Alisi over there training by himself with one of the trainers, so that's okay, everything's normal there, but I don't see that. Can you see Labby out there? No, so he's a little bit missing in action at the moment, so hopefully there's no issues with that as we're getting blown away and belted with leaves and sticks coming from the trees.
The umbrella. Oh, no, it's the goals. Thought he wanted the umbrella moved over, so it's pretty well central.
Yeah, the boys come and set it up, and they thought they had it set up. And then
that's going to end badly for us here soon.
I know. They're playing this game where they have two goals. They attack the first goal.
Back there?
Whereabouts?
Labby's in orange, right near Clayton. So the bloke walked in.
Ah, yes, I see him. Yeah.
The bloke
that's okay. Yep. Harry Sawyer.
Yeah.
From Brisbane Roar. Ex-youth player for Brisbane Roar. Right. Yeah.
I think he's just walked off. I think him and Labby are swapping on and off.
Okay, so they might be doing the same deal then, because that was just a bit concerning over there, because I've seen Labby doing some extra running at the side, so whether he's just maintaining a bit of warmth, which I wouldn't thought you'd have to do in this sort of weather.
Come off. I think they're sort of subbing Coco, Labby and Harry.
Okay.
Harry,
Harry Sawyer. Tom's younger brother.
Yeah,
okay, well, look, as I say, hopefully that's no indication of anything to do with Boogs.
No.
Although it's quite interesting, Jonesy's made some interesting comments about his position in the team, so we'll talk about that a little bit later. But, so we've got a couple of comments here from Jonesy to talk about. But, some players come out of the departure lounge, we have new players going in. But I suppose that's the life of a football team, isn't it?
It is.
You know, we've got that, and I think that's about all, though. But the positive thing is that Nordstrom, he looks like he's at full training at this stage. I believe will be available, and same with Boogs, who also will be available for this week's game.
Lucky Jackson too. He's probably only a game short of
Mr.
being
Jack
available.
Boxing. Yeah, right. So he's back in about a game's time.
I'd say so. Yeah, he's back to full training.
Yep.
I suppose we have a look at the team list.
Yeah.
Tomorrow when it comes out, but I'd perhaps give him another week.
Yep.
I think the original sort of makes him available for next week, not this week. But
well, they're going to struggle, aren't they, at the moment? Because as I say, Johnny Katrumbas is playing quite well, and that's a player. Well, obviously, he's taking up Boogs' spot at the moment. I don't think he's playing as well as Boogs. Ken?
Yvan, too, is playing the left side.
Yep.
He didn't have a bad game, I don't think.
No, not at all.
We've got a couple of young blokes that I think could worth keeping and kicking on with. Yeah.
Well, let's move out of the lounge then and go into talking about some of the possibilities with some of the teams, and